Welcome, I'm Christina Michelle, inviting you to join me for Culture Rich Conversations, an ongoing feature of Juno Afternoon. This week, we're diving right back into another episode of Hot Topics in Black Culture. My guest today is Nye McGee. She is an entertainment journalist coming to us today from Chicago, Illinois, and I can't wait for you to speak with her. Last month, we featured our first venture into Hot Topics, and we thought we would keep going and discuss the ever-changing, multifaceted topic that is Black culture. We will cover everything from the controversy with Kanye West, or Ye as he goes by, as well as the terrifying headline of Black women being terrorized and poisoned by strategically placed napkins. Every month, we have something new in Hot Topics to discuss, and November was no different. From KTOO in Juneau, this is Culture Rich Conversations.
Culture Rich Conversations is made possible by a grant from the Social Justice Fund Grant Program of the Alaska Community Foundation.
Culture Rich Conversations on Juno Afternoon is sponsored in part by Mark Stofa and Sarah Hannon of the Alaska Wild Salmon Company, delivering fresh salmon to Juno homes since 2006. Learn more at goodsalmon.com or 907-321-4997.
The Black Awareness Association would like to take a moment to recognize that Culture Rich Conversations is broadcast from Thlinkit Ani. We acknowledge those families who made use of this land and waterways for thousands of years and still cherish it as an important part of their way of life for today and future generations. Gunalshchish, thank you. Today's show is a Hot Topics discussion about what's trending in the Black community. And some of these topics may be a little triggering to our listeners, so we just want to give that disclaimer ahead of time. And we also would like to say that the opinions and views expressed by our guests are not necessarily reflective of the opinions and views of Culture Rich Conversations, the Black Awareness Association, or of KTOO.
You're listening to Culture Rich. Culture Rich.
Welcome to Culture Rich Conversations. I'm Christina Michelle. I'm joined today by guest Nye McGee. Welcome, Nye, and thank you so much for being here.
Sorry, I forgot to unmute. Thank you for having me.
No problem. So can we just start by you telling our listeners a bit about yourself and explaining what you do and how you got into it?
Well, of course. My name is Nye McGee. Born and raised in Chicago. I'm that girl that had a small town dream of working in big time Hollywood. And I am lucky enough, blessed enough to have accomplished this, just that. I have been working in the entertainment business now for over 20 years. I got my start right out of college. I went to Columbia College in Chicago and immediately moved to Los Angeles after graduating. And hit the ground running. Like, my first job was working for Quentin Tarantino's production team at Miramax Films. And that just opened the door for many wonderful opportunities. I went on to work for the Jim Henson Company, Hallmark Channel, Paramount Studios, Parade Magazine, various LA-based companies representing above-the-line talent. I also worked for the iconic Roger Corman, film producer. And even the late Larry Flint from, you know, known for the Hustler publication. And so after so many years, about 10 years working in production, post-production, acquisitions, development, script writing, editing, you name it. I did that for about 10 years, then transitioned into advertising sales, still working in the entertainment business. And I worked simultaneously while I was working in production and film, was working in advertising sales for about 8 years. And then that led me into entertainment reporting. So while I was working and hustling and coming up in Hollywood, I've always been an avid lover of pop culture and celebrity news and entertainment. And many years ago, I used to host a podcast and a celebrity gossip blog. And one day my work caught the attention of a big time player in the radio industry. He gave me a job working for one of his outlets. And the day he hired me, the very next day, he put me in front of Steve Harvey. So that was my first major celebrity interview.
Oh,
and since
God,
then, that was
probably huge.
Yeah, right. And so from that moment on, Steve Harvey, I got that had to be about 7-8 years ago. And since then, I've interviewed everyone from, let's see, Oprah Winfrey, Tyler Perry, Halle Berry, Tiffany Haddish, Tom Hanks, you name it, Nick Cannon, Ice-T, Jill Scott. Just this morning, I got to speak to Van Lathan. He hosts a popular podcast. Many of you may remember him as being the former TMZ journalist who snapped on Kanye West that day in the TMZ studios.
Okay.
When Kanye said slavery was a choice. So I got to speak to him today. I wanted to ask him about the Kanye, like a follow-up, because that incident happened in 2018. But I kept it on topic, right? I kept it on his new series about hip-hop homicides. And it was quite timely because, as we know, Takeoff from the Migos passed away today. And so, in a nutshell, that's Nye McGee, celebrity journalist extraordinaire. Some even call me an influencer.
I love it. Well, I'm so glad that you were able to join us today because this is just right up your alley. You know, we just decided to do Hot Topics the beginning of every month. And we usually have we've done it in the past. But for this season, we were thinking that we would do it the first show of every month and that we would have a panel of guests, like maybe 3 or 4 different people. But then when I heard about you, I was like, oh, my gosh, let's just have this show with Nye and see how it goes. Because, I mean, you're just so well versed in the current topics and trends and what's happening. And I know that you have a lot to say and really good opinions to share. So I'm excited about this show. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Christina.
All right. Well, a lot has happened since our last show featuring the Hot Topics that we did in October. There's a lot going on and lots to talk about. And it's been pretty hard to avoid hearing about our first topic. He's been everywhere in the news lately, and there's no way to avoid it. So Kanye West and that controversy. So, Nye, can you just lay a little bit of a foundation for anybody who may have not heard about what happened with Kanye West, and then we'll talk about what your thoughts are on it.
Well, I have to preface this by saying that I will give you my foundation, but at the same time tell you what my colleagues in the business are saying. So, you know, the reports say one thing, the colleagues say other things. Now, I will say this, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not saying that what I speak on tonight is 100% gospel. Take it as you will. I can only repeat what the quote unquote insiders are saying. So the groundwork, as many of you may not know, Kanye West is catching heat. He has pissed off the Jewish community. Kanye West claims that the so-called quote unquote powerful Jews in Hollywood have wronged him in many ways. And it seems like he was hell-bent on revenge. So he went out and said that it all started a couple weeks ago when he said he was going to go DEFCON on the Jewish community. And everyone's like, what's going on, Kanye? Why are you angry with the Jews, right? And so he begins to go on this media blitz where he sort of unpacks his grievances. He's been wrong in this way and the other. He doesn't quite go into detail, but he's been very arrogant in his criticisms, so much so that I guess one of his biggest deals, Adidas, he was on, I believe, the Breakfast Champs He did an interview with the Breakfast Champs, I believe it was a couple weeks ago, in which he slammed the Jews during that interview. And at the same time, you know, he said, I can be anti-Semitic all I want and Adidas won't drop me. Well, several days later, Adidas dropped him. Ooh. And then made the announcement that they own all the Yeezy brand designs and they were going to cease production on Yeezy products and not pay him anymore. Well, Kanye responded and made it perfectly clear that, you know, put up or shut up. I believe his stance is that the designs belong to him and they better, you know, pick up elsewhere, right? Or pay him for his time, money, brand, and likeness. Now, after he's been dropped by Adidas, Gap, Balenciaga, the fashion house has parted ways with him. He showed up at the Skechers headquarters in Los Angeles, I believe this was last week. I don't know if y'all heard about this. Why he showed up at the Skechers headquarters remains a mystery, but he showed up, documentary crew in tow, allegedly, and he was immediately escorted out of the building. Wow. So now, as expected, Kanye is slowly going on this apology tour, right? He's slowly apologizing for disparaging the Jewish community. And he has even admitted recently that God is humbling him. He's losing all these deals, losing all these endorsements. Now, insiders claim, and this is what insiders were telling me before the public caught on, right? That Kanye initially set out to piss off the wrong people in the right places, or I should say, the right people and what he views now as being the wrong places in terms of certain organizations and entities that he's embedded with contractually, right? So they said Kanye wanted to get out of certain contracts because his ex-wife Kim and her mother-in-law, Kris Jenner, allegedly, according to insiders, own a great stake in several of his business ventures, including his publishing royalties, right? And Kanye's been wanting to, as they say, stick it to Kim financially. So, and getting out of these contracts creates a ripple effect. So he was expecting that would impact her financially as well. However, I don't think Kanye expected to be hit as hard as he is being hit. I think Kanye really thought he could go on some of these urban outlets, piss off the Jews, and no one would raise a fuss about it. Well, he got a wake-up call, didn't he? Because, you know, they were quick to say, now that he's lost Adidas, Gap, he filmed a documentary for a studio whose name escapes me. And now that studio is shelving his documentary, so we may never see that documentary. So now that his pocketbook is being hit, and of course, I'm sure you've heard that JP Morgan Chase gave him until the middle of this month to get all his money out their banks, right?
Ooh.
Yeah.
I did not know that. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whoa.
So I don't think Kanye was expecting to be hit financially as hard as he's being hit. And I almost hate to say financially. I think what I want to say is I don't think he expected so many powerful players in entertainment and fashion world to want to distance themselves from him. And now that that is happening, I think he's getting that wake up call and he's slowly issuing apologies, although I don't think he means what he's saying, because now it's being reported that Kanye has been going on these very anti-Jewish rants during various media appearances for the past year, but a lot of outlets have been editing it out. They've been protecting him. They've not been reporting on it. And now, you know, I'm not sure, maybe it was the Drunk Champs interview was the first time that we're all really seeing the full depths of his so-called obsession with Hitler, they claim. There's even reports, there's a rumor, dare I say rumor, guys, ladies and gentlemen, that he wanted to name his first child with Kim after Adolf Hitler.
Oh my God.
That's how obsessed they say this man is, okay? Allegedly, that's what the insiders are whispering. Excuse me, they say Kim may one day spill the tea about this, but don't expect her to do it anytime soon.
Whoa. Okay, that was way more than even I bargained for. Oh my gosh. So, Nye, do you think that, or I guess I'll phrase it like this. How much of this do you think is attributed to the struggles that Kanye has had with his mental health?
Well, it's interesting you should ask that, Christina, because Kanye just did an interview with, oh God, the I forget the guy's first name, but you can look it up on YouTube. His last name is Friedman, I think. It's one of his most recent interviews. It's gotten over 3 million hits on YouTube. And in that interview, he claims, now these are his words, ladies and gentlemen, not mine. He claims that it was Jewish doctors that labeled him mentally ill, that labeled him crazy, that had him put on lockdown, that had him medicated, right? And now, as he is speaking up for himself, I suppose, speaking his so-called truth about the business, he claimed in that interview, it's the same, the Jewish cabal that he claims, okay, his words, not mine, this great Jewish conspiracy of doctors and entertainment power players are conspiring against him, and they're throwing out the, he's crazy, he's bipolar, he's mentally ill, anytime they have an issue with him being this rich, powerful Black man speaking his truth. Now, of course, we have to remember, even though he claims it was the doctors who labeled him as crazy, we have to remember when Kanye himself embraced the label bipolar. Sorry.
Yeah.
Remember some years ago, he dropped an album and labeled it I Am Bipolar. Mm. And he said he wears his bipolarism, if that's a word, pardon me if it's not, as a superhero cape, right? He said being bipolar makes him a superhero. So on one hand, 2 or 3 years ago, he embraced being bipolar and his mental issues. Now he claims the Jewish doctors put this label on him and they're using it to attack him anytime he's making sense in the public about his truth as a Black male artist in this industry.
Okay.
So do I think, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
So what do I think he's acting out now because he either is A, crazy, or is he B, just driven purely by ego? I think that Kanye, in my opinion, is driven a lot by ego, but there is a tinge of crazy there. They say Kanye surrounds himself with no one that looks like him in higher positions, if you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. You know, that school he's got out there in California, after, you know, they shut it down briefly for half a day. When they reopened the next day, rumor has it that a lot of teachers are quitting, right? And Kanye reached out to his former social media advisor, Jason Lee of Hollywood Unlocked, to help him during this crisis of losing his school. So do I think Kanye's behavior lately is because he's crazy? No, I think the man is actually very smart, very intelligent. Mm. He's just driven by ego. He's not driven by the spirit. He's driven by ego, and he might be, listen, someone like me who's lived in Hollywood for 20 years, it is very easy to lose your marbles in that town, right? Mm-hmm. If you're not, especially if you don't have resources, if you don't have money like Kanye, it's very easy to lose your marbles, end up 5150, that's a psychiatric ward, or somewhere on Skid Row. Kanye has the resources and the money to get whatever help he needs if he's truly crazy, right? So I don't think he's truly legitimately 5150 crazy. The man is just egotistical and out of control, and he surrounds himself with people who know not to tell him no. And that probably has made him a bit mad. And I'll land on that. I'll land on that note.
Well, Kanye compares himself to Emmett Till, and for those who don't know who that is, Emmett Till was a 14-year-old Black child who was lynched in 1955 in Mississippi for offending a white woman. And he's basically comparing himself to Emmett Till and saying that he's a victim of economic lynching. And so what do you think he means by this? Is this all tied to, you know, his thoughts that, like you said, anytime he says anything that makes sense, then these powerful Jews turn it around on him and slaughter him, basically?
I can see in Kanye's mind that there are probably powers that be that want to knock him down a peg or two because he has allegedly falsely proclaimed himself to be the richest Black man in America.
Yeah.
Now, I have word from my insiders that Kanye was never billionaire status. And allegedly, I'll say allegedly because I don't want to, I tiptoe here, that the publication, who I will not name, that named him a billionaire didn't properly vet and do the homework. They just take the word of a certain momager who also said her daughter was a billionaire as well. But on that note, I digress. I can see in Kanye's mind why he would think the powers that be want to knock him down a peg or two. I can see why now that he is losing, he has soured his relationships with very powerful entities in this business, how that will impact him financially. I can see why he feels like he's being financially lynched. But I also think it's very convenient now, you know, when you have Black entertainers who spend so much of their career seemingly distancing themselves from the community, right? Mm-hmm. Kanye went and got a non-Black wife, had mixed race kids, apparently surround his the leaders of his team on his various business deals from his companies, right? His creative team, allegedly they're not melanated people, right? And so now you get to this point in your career where the dominant society is kicking your behind, okay? And now you want to use coded language for the Black community, Emmett Till, okay? And he compared himself to George Floyd just recently.
Yeah.
Now you want to use all this coded language to garner sympathy with the Black community, to either get the Black community just as angry as you are about Jews, and it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Because most of us have been reading through and seeing the okie doke and the bamboozle since you told us what was the song he dropped. And when he gets on, he leaves your ass for a white girl. We already knew then what you were about, Kanye.
That was, I ain't saying you a gold digger.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Gold digger. Yeah.
When he dumped the beautiful Black girl and went with Amber Rose, and then after he dumped Amber Rose, said he had to take 50 showers after being, we already knew what Kanye was all about, all right? When, I mean, listen, rumor has it, and many of your audience has probably heard this. Again, I'm going to say allegedly because these come from my insiders, and I have to say allegedly because, you know, I don't know what's true anymore, what's not, but I know people, my colleagues, don't have a reason to lie. But listen, Kanye's been ranting about how his colleagues in the music business have not supported him, have not defended him, have not had his back since he married Kim. And I've heard through the grapevine that folks from Jay-Z to Meek Mill's told this brother, don't marry Kim. Don't marry this woman. It's going to end in disaster. And he didn't listen, right? So a lot of people who have been close to Kanye have said that he surrounds himself by yes men and yes women. He does not take advice, sound advice. Kanye wants to do what Kanye wants to do. And now that the house of cards has fallen down on Kanye, Kanye wants to creepily crawl back into the Black community and claim to be victimized and targeted and harassed. And now he's Emmett Till and he's George Floyd and he's sorry. And we're not buying it. Sorry, Kanye, we're not buying it. You made your bed, line it, bro, deal with it. Here's the thing. Remember when Sway told Kanye, do your own thing? And Kanye got mad at him and said, you don't have all the answers, Sway. You don't have all the answers. Kanye was so hell-bent on going to all these rich white men, rich white entities for his money, for his come-up. And Sway was like, listen, all these rich white cats that you admire, they had to start somewhere. Why don't you follow their motto? and start from the ground up and build your own. Kanye was like, no. So he went to all these famous fashion houses. He's on Twitter begging the CEO of Twitter for money, begging the CEO of Facebook for money. They all ignored him, right? And now, again, as the house of cards is falling down, someone asked Kanye a couple weeks ago, so was Sway right? Kanye said, yeah, Sway was right. I should have basically, he said, he should have built it from the ground up with his own money. I'm paraphrasing now, but when he said Sway was right, that's what he meant. He should have accomplished what he was trying to accomplish in the music and especially the fashion industry on his own. I mean, let's be real. How hard would it have been for Kanye West to raise funds for his own fashion house? He did it for his school, didn't he? Mm. For maybe his own label. I know he has a label, Good Music. If he wanted to take his label to the next level, how difficult would it have been for a Kanye West to raise his own funds to build his own house, the house of Kanye? But he didn't want to do that. But here's my thing. I think that Kanye still has enough of a fan base where it's not too late. He will come out. He will rise from this like the phoenix in the ashes.
Yeah.
And he will create his own house his way without all of the so-called quote unquote Jewish cabal after him, like he claims. So that's my take on that, Ms. Christina.
Nye, thank you so much. My last question about this, do you think that his recent behavior could jeopardize his custody with his children?
Well, now listen, here's the thing. It can, depending on how Kim plays this. Mm-hmm. We already saw Kim publicly, emotionally manipulate Kanye with this fake relationship she had with Pete Davidson, okay? And the nonsense that she allowed Pete Davidson to do while they were so-called dating. Bragging about having sex with her, you know, while she's still married to Kanye. Taking Kanye's kids out to shop at Target. Getting his kids' names tattooed on his neck. Just really provoking this guy. And from an outsider looking in, from my point of view, it definitely looked like Kim used Pete to provoke Kanye to get him to act wild in public so she could use all his crazy antics in a divorce proceeding. Like, see, Your Honor, you see how crazy he is? Look what he said and did. So is it possible that his latest antics could affect his child custody? It absolutely could, depending on how Kim plays it. And if Kim is as savvy and manipulative as I suspect she is, she very well will use all this to her favor to get the money, get the kids. I mean, they already say that Kanye allegedly signed an agreement with Kim that gives her 100% say on the livelihoods of those children, where they go to school, how they eat, breathe, sleep, fart, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You can almost see that that is true because Kanye, over the past couple months, has been having outbursts on social media about not having any say on what the kids do and how it's not fair. And so you're forced to think to yourself, well, brother, is it true that you signed all these rights away like they said you did? And if that's the case, then yes, Christina, his latest actions most certainly may impact his custody. And I think that's the direction we're headed. I think we're going to end up seeing Kim full custody of those kids.
Oh, that's so sad. I remember a couple, maybe a few weeks ago, that whole thing with Ray J when he came out and he was talking about the tapes. With Kim and her mom, and he did this big thing on, I think, Twitter or on Instagram or something. He did a live for like 45 minutes, and he showed all of the text messages and all these things, basically proving that, you know, Kim's mom was part of this and that she was in on it. And all these years she's been saying that she had nothing to do with it, but he's like, here are the contracts. We signed these contracts to get paid for these tapes. He also had mentioned conversations that he had with Kanye, where Ray J was saying, like, I was in tears listening to Kanye tell me the things that he's telling me about his mother-in-law. and, you know, in regards to the kids. And he's like, as a father and as a Black father, like to hear him going through that, you know, and this woman basically like, and Ray J didn't, he was trying to be respectful, I think, of that private conversation he had with Kanye. But, you know, so he didn't say exactly what was going on, but he just said, you know, I was in tears hearing what he's going through with his mother-in-law in regards to his kids. So it sounds like that's all true. I mean, there's two sides to every story, you know, but it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. Yeah.
Well, again, it goes back to, this is the life he chose when it in terms of Kim, right?
That's true.
He chose, you know, we have to remember that Rage, Kanye saw Kim Kardashian getting it in with Ray J and decided, that's who I'm going to marry and make the wife of my children. And now here we are. And so,
yeah,
I make the mother, I should say. Yeah. I think I said wife, make the mother of my children. So now here we are with him pouring his heart out to whomever will listen about the troubles he's having with Kris Jenner and Kim Kardashian. And many of us are left saying, well, brother, imagine where you would be if you had, I don't know, stayed home. You know, if I could just put it simply,
right.
If you just, you know, kept it in the family, bro, not literally, but, you know, maybe if you hadn't married a nice, quiet Chicago girl, wasn't in the limelight, you know, somebody who understands the struggle, you know what I'm saying? Maybe we wouldn't be here. So he gets no sympathy for me when it comes to, listen, I have a cop friend in LA, and I'll land on this. Here's some gossip. I have a cop friend in LA who told me that the Kardashians are all, that the image that they put in public they're masterminds when it comes to their public image. Behind the scenes, allegedly, according to this cop friend that I know, I'm saying this gently because I don't want to offend, they're very, very pro-white, if I can put it simply.
Okay.
They have a motto that is, everything's white, these kids are white, the Black, Kanye's kids are white. If they're only associated with Black publicly, behind the scenes, they are.
Gotcha.
So while the Black community is very quick to say, Kim is Black, oh, they're Armenian, oh, that's not white, oh, they're of color, oh, they're colored, the family themselves are like, no, we're white, we promote white, our business is white, our foundation is white, we're pro-white and white and white. And I'm saying it the way my cop friend has said it to me. And I'll end that with an allegedly, so no one gets in trouble.
That is perfect. Thank you, Nye. If you're just joining us, I am Christina Michelle, your host, and I'm here with Nye McGee, an entertainment journalist and influencer, and we are discussing hot topics in the Black culture today. We're going to take a quick break, and we will be right back. Welcome back to Culture Rich Conversations. I'm your host, Christina Michelle, and today I am joined here by Nye McGee, and she is joining us all the way from Chicago, Illinois. Nye is an entertainment journalist and influencer, and we are just having a conversation about the hot topics in Black culture. So the first segment of the show, we talked extensively about what's happening with Kanye, and that's because he's such an icon in the Black culture and in the music industry. And well, in reaching even beyond, you know, the Black community and Black culture, like he really is an icon. So there's lots to be said there that we care about. Moving on, we are going to talk about something else that we really care about, and that's Black women and the fact that it seems that there's been a trend of women being targeted, Black women being targeted by strategically placed napkins or little pieces of paper. I know this sounds crazy, but what's been happening is women have been reporting that they'll find a little piece of napkin or like torn off a paper towel or something like that stuck like in their car door handle or on their windshield or like in the trunk door, and they'll go and they'll pull it off, and within moments to maybe an hour or so of touching that piece of paper and removing it, they are having some kind of chemical or chemical reaction or medical emergency, basically. And many of them have ended up in the emergency room from like a rash or an outbreak or, you know, them not feeling well all of a sudden. So, I'm just wondering, Nye, like, if you can weigh in about that. Like, what are your thoughts? I mean, that is, like, it's just crazy. I don't know how many have been reported, but it's been on the news and it's been spreading across the United States.
Well, what I can say is women, especially single women and single women who are out in public with their children, please be careful because you are being targeted by sex traffickers and child sex traffickers. That is a lot of what's happening here with these paper towels and tissues being laced with drugs and stuck in the door handle. What seems to me is happening is women are arriving in certain public spaces where predators are searching for victims. They know what they're looking for, these predators. They're looking for very specific types of women, especially young women with young children who they can easily handle. And by handle, I mean physical. If they have to, if you touch this paper towel in your door and you immediately pass out, they can easily sweep you and the kids up. Or single women who are traveling alone, who are physically don't look like they can handle themselves if confronted by a predator. And what they're doing, ladies, is they see you getting out of your vehicles at these public places. And in many cases, they're following you around. They're following you around where if you're in the club, if you're in the grocery store, if you're in the mall, they're keeping a close eye on you. In some cases, they might work in teams, right? And communicate with each other via, you know, some sort of electronic device about you being the target. Mm. And they'll work in teams to keep an eye on you until you get back to your car and you notice this tissue in your door and you pull it out. And the hope is that you faint or have a violent reaction right away. What they're gunning for is that you pass out and faint, right?
Yeah.
Or that you're so weak and disoriented that you lose all sense of reality and you can easily be scooped up and carried off. So that's what we're seeing happening. And that's what many law enforcement agencies are surmising. They suspect this is what's happening, right? I recall a case, I think it was in Florida just recently. There was a young Black woman. She got lucky. She was traveling with her little ones, came out to the car. Now, this gal got lucky, ladies. She noticed a guy following her while she was in the amusement park. And she turned on her cell phone and she's documenting on her cell phone to her friends and audience, like, listen, this guy's been following me. And she's, you know, got him on camera, following her throughout the park until she got out of the park. There he is again. She goes to her car, sees the paper towel. I think she briefly touched it because she was able to call the police. The police came to the scene, but she was ultimately hospitalized because she did have a reaction to the paper towel. But that gal got lucky because she noticed right away that she was being followed, got out to the car, noticed the paper towel. She still touched it, was still hospitalized. But before they took her to the hospital, the police tipped her off about what was happening why this was happening. And she later posted an update from her hospital bed about, you know, she's okay, but she did like I did, you know, warning. She did like I'm doing now, warning women to watch your back out here, because that's what these predators and child sex predators are doing. I mean, it used to be where they told the ladies, hey, listen, park, you know, if you're out at a mall or at a facility that's got a massive parking space, park as close to the door as you can, or park around a lot of cars. Don't park far away. Don't squeeze your little compact car in between two vans.
Right.
You know, they used to tell you, watch out for the vans because the predators are lurking in the vans, or the predators will pull up on you in a van and snatch you.
Right.
Well, the predators are like, forget, they don't want to put in their work no more. They're drugging the paper towels and leaving notices on your car waiting for you to touch. Oh, or you probably heard this one where down in Florida, we've heard reports down in Florida where they're lacing dollar bills with fentanyl.
That's right.
Okay, now what's that all about? They want you to pick up this money that's laced with drugs. Why? Why do they want you to do this? So you can become a victim of something. So that's what I think is going on. I've done a couple of reports about this for one of my outlets, and it seems to me that these women and these children are being targeted by child sex traffickers.
Wow. Well, that's a whole different take on it, because I was thinking, you know, is this a hate crime that's happening? You know, but it makes perfect sense that it's about human trafficking. And like you said, they're getting lazy or smarter or more efficient or whatever. Like, nobody has time to be the boogeyman jumping out of a van anymore, apparently. And so they're taking this approach, which is, I mean, it's frightening. I think that we still should be careful where we're parking as women, right? And not sitting there in the car. Like, I know that I have a habit of that, of sitting in the car and like texting or scrolling through social media or whatever for a long time before I leave my house or leave the store or whatever. But that's just time that somebody, I mean, maybe not here so much in Juneau because it is such a small community, but in the larger cities where this is happening, that's time that somebody could be profiling you. That's time that somebody can notice, like, okay, she's alone. She's, you know, vulnerable. And so, you know, that's one thing that we can do, is be careful about not sitting in the car for a long time, and then not touching things that we're not familiar with. Like, if you see something odd, you know, on your car, like, be careful about it. Like, you can remove it, but maybe instead of pulling it out of the windshield wiper, just turn the windshield wiper on and let it fly. You know, gloves or anything like that. And if you have any reason to believe or suspect that somebody was following you or may have planted something, then taking it to the police right away and reporting it. Anything else you can think of, Nye, that that we can do to deter these traffickers or to keep ourselves safe?
Well, you just said it. I think okay. The most important thing is, women, please, please, please be aware of your surroundings. That's just really number one. I think a lot of women, especially the younger generation, they're so caught up in how they look. A lot of women, we get so caught up in being the stunner, you know, being the center of attraction at any scene, any environment, that for many women, sadly, all attention is good attention. All eyes on us is means that we are the shizness, and, you know, we feel invincible, right? And that can get us in trouble. And so we have to be very aware of the eyes that are on us that we're aware of, and the eyes that are on us that we're not aware of. A lot of us, especially Black women, we might think, because we're in a society that's so anti-Black and anti-woman, that we go ignored in a lot of spaces, right? That no one's paying attention to us.
Yeah.
Especially if we're like the only chocolate drop in the room.
Right.
No one's gonna pay attention. I remember when I was living in Granada Hills in LA, very, very well-to-do area, right? Not a lot of people of color in this, well, people of color, well, means a lot of celebrities live in this area. But it was also that type of area where you feel safe at night taking a little walk, right? To a degree. I remember saying to a friend of mine one day, a Black girlfriend and I, we were walking down the street, and it was getting pretty late, and she wanted to go a little further, and I walk, and I'm like, girl, no. it's getting late. We got to get in the house, you know? She's like, girl, don't nobody want us. And I remember saying to her, wait a minute. You can't take that type of attitude. Nobody wants us. There are predators. Age don't matter. Race doesn't matter. Gender doesn't matter. If you look like a target, you are being targeted, okay? So don't think because you look a certain way, you're a certain age, a certain size, a certain color, that you can, you're not the target of somebody's diabolical scheme. So that is my advice. Just be hyper aware everywhere you go, ladies.
Thank you so much, Nai. Well, let's talk about these the Black men and the Black sperm shortage. So this this is something. Actually, it's kind of funny to go from that topic we were just on into like talking about Black men sperm, and I guess the fact that it's hard to come by, but it is apparently there is a national shortage of Black sperm. So the thing is that more and more single Black women are deciding to go it alone when it comes to raising children and starting a family, and they're finding it difficult to get sperm from Black men in order to have artificial insemination. So I'm wondering what are your thoughts on that? Have you heard about this? Do you know anybody who's been affected by this shortage?
I only recently heard about this shortage because I had to cover it for two outlets that I work for. I had to cover this shortage.
Okay.
I find it quite amusing. I can't say that I'm incredibly surprised because, you know, as you probably have read in the coverage that you, kind of poured through related to this topic, the fertility bank industry has long marketed towards the white community, okay, has long marketed towards white families, white couples, and many of the top sperm banks in America have recently admitted that this has been the greatest downfall in this particular industry, because while they've been focused on one racial group, one ethnic group, right, they're seeing an increase in Black single women who want to start families, mm-hmm. Black women who are in relationships but can't get pregnant who want to start families, same-sex couples who want to start families, and they all want Black sperm.
Right.
And now they can't, there's a shortage. And these sperm banks, these fertility clinics admit that they have failed when it comes to marketing to young Black male professionals, especially on college campuses. And when they have made these efforts on college campuses, the men are just not interested. So there's really the question, why aren't Black men interested in donating their sperm? Mm. And so what can the sperm banks do to entice them, encourage them to be more giving of themselves, so to speak, right? It seems the Black men, one report that I just did, a lady at one of the top fertility banks here in America, her take on it was this, and I'm paraphrasing. She says, we have created a society where we have treated Black men and women like villains if they produce children outside of marriage. And so now, you know, we live in a society that frowns upon single motherhood, frowns upon the baby daddy if a Black man has so many kids, right? And so her take is, now you want these same men to give sperm to women that they don't know, to raise children that they may never see. And for them, that's kind of a mind trick. Right. I won't say the F word, a mind F, you know?
Yeah.
Because on one hand, you're telling these men, you're deadbeat dads because you don't take care of your kids.
Yep.
But now you want my sperm for a kid that I won't be taking care of.
Right.
So it's kind of like, so they're kind of like, okay, what gives here? So that's part of the apprehension. Now, another thing that I read is the actual sperm donation process tends to weed out a lot of men of color, not just, well, let me take that back. A lot of men in general, not just black, white, and Latino.
Okay.
I understand that the process to donate is very extensive because they do a background check that goes back 3 generations. Mm. And if a lot of black men can't go back 3 generations in their family, they're already excluded. Anybody with a criminal record, felons, already excluded. If you have a non-curable sexually transmitted disease, already excluded. So all of these factor into why the black sperm shortage is where it is currently. They say that during COVID, a lot of the sperm for fertility banks across the country saw a rise in interest from black single women. And because there's no sperm, and then I think it's the Washington Post or the Washington Times just did a story about this. Black women who are in the same social circles, the same kind of professional circles, who are middle-aged, in the same area, wanting families and need black sperm donors, are finding themselves going to the same clinics and fighting over the same sperm, right? And so there's not enough to go around. Who gets it? Which one of the girlfriends gets it? So if the sperm banks aren't working, now these women are having to turn to the black market or, you know, apps on the internet where men are selling their sperm. And in these cases, they're having to get sperm from men of other races. There are some cases where I just read a woman asked her friend, they're turning to their male friends for sperm donation, right? And I suppose some men are willing to do it. Others, you know, you can understand why they might be apprehensive. You know, if your good girlfriend comes and tells you, hey, I want to start a family with my girlfriend. Let's say she's in a same-sex relationship or, you know, a hetero relationship with her partner. She can't get pregnant and there's something wrong with her partner's junk. He can't perform either. So the friends got to come involved. Well, now you can understand the apprehension of some friends, right? Because the friends like, wait a minute. You're telling me I won't have to, you know, they're presented with this fabulous offer. Money for your sperm and you won't have to be a father. You won't have to be involved. You won't have to have anything to do with the child's life. Well, hello, what happens 10, 15, 20 years from now if that child has some sort of medical ailment and you got to go back to the sperm donor, right?
Yeah.
To dive into the history about what's wrong with the baby. Or 10, 15 years from now, mama decides, oh, all her help and support is no longer in the picture. The sperm donor needs to cough up some money for the college tuition. So you can see why a lot of black, so many factors why the black male may be apprehensive to participate in what he may consider the biggest bamboozle of the black culture. But that's just my take. That's just my take, Miss Christina.
I think it's a good take, Nye. I do. You made so many really good points, and it's just now I have a better understanding because it takes on average 18 months to get the black male sperm versus 3 months for white or for Asian. And so, you know, it makes a lot of sense, everything you just said. All of those factors are contributing to it. Well, I wish that we can continue this conversation because we still have so much more to talk about it or to talk about. But unfortunately, like, we are coming up on the end of the show. We covered a lot this afternoon, and I really want to thank you, Nye, for being with us and exploring the latest hot topics in Black culture. Is there anything that you would like to share in closing, like any way that you would like to be reached? Is your social media public, like anything you want to share?
Absolutely. Well, first of all, Christina and your team, thank you for inviting me on the show. This has been such a fun conversation. And anytime, you know, you need someone to come back on and dish about the hot topics, I'm your girl. And of course, Nye McGee, you can find me on social media, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, N-Y-M-A-G-E-E. And if anybody is listening and, you know, they're interested in learning more about how to get into entertainment reporting or break into the industry, tap in with me. You can find me, Writer Nye McGee on Instagram, or you can email me, NyeMcGee1@gmail.com, and I'll be happy to share my insight with you.
Awesome. I'm going to follow you now. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
This is Culture Rich Conversations. I'm Christina Michelle, and we'll be right back.
Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juno with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juno. More at heritagecoffee.com.
Hanson Gress. Ka eat with the shu yi, we ka shuk a yi tin. Jin kat ka ke jin ta ka na kaya ha an e kak gunish cheese.
Today in Black History, we recognize Carol Moseley Braun, who on November 3, 1992, became the first African-American woman elected to the United States Senate. Though she only served one term, this historic achievement paves the way for many more to come. Again, I would like to thank our guests for joining us this afternoon. I really enjoy these lively discussions about Black culture, and I'm definitely looking forward to having many, many more. We appreciate our listeners for being here with us, and we look forward to hearing any feedback you may have for us. If you want to reach us, our email address is junobaa@gmail.com. You can also find us on Facebook by just searching JunoBAA. If you would like to mail us something, our mailing address is P.O. Box 33734 Juneau, Alaska 99803. Today's show was produced by Natasha Boozer. We'll meet again next week, and until then, may your life be blessed and flow with ease. I'm Christina Michelle, and this has been Culture Rich Conversations.
Culture Rich Conversations is made possible by a grant from the Social Justice Fund Grant Program of the Alaska Community Foundation.
You're listening to Culture Rich. Culture Rich. Culture.